to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And we are one episode away from the magical, whimsical number 100.
One stroke away from exploding.
This is episode 99. It's like a 69, only better.
Yeah, because there's like 30 more.
Yeah, it's 99. Yeah. It's like, it would be like the horizontal mambo. You know, you switch. Never mind. I don't know where I'm going.
I don't know. George Carlin would probably have a good explanation for that.
He probably would.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
So how's your week been?
It's been good. It's been good, man. It flew by, really. You know, the holidays. You hear the stores are crazy. Work is crazy. Can't wait for it to slow down. But it made the week go by fast, and now we're here. We're here recording episode 99, one episode away from 100, and man,
and next week we will have Frank in the studio with us.
Yes.
We invited old friend of the show, long the evil Dr. Tran. He's expected to be here, so we've got a big special episode for you. And we're going to preview the movie later, even though it's not a movie that really needs a preview, but we'll talk about what we're doing for 100 later. But my week's been okay. Saturday, the weekend was good. You were busy working. That's why we're recording a couple days later.
Yes.
That's okay. We took the kids out to Lake Jackson area, and there's like three free museums out there people don't know about. They have a historical museum, a natural science museum, and an aquarium, and it's all free. So we took the hour drive out to Lake Jackson, spent the day out there Saturday with the kids, and had a good time doing that. And nice. That's about the most exciting thing I did in work this past week.
Hey, man, sometimes that's what you need. Just take a weekend out with the kids, you know?
And it was a good time. But other than that, really just gearing up for the big 100th episode. But let's not jump the gun. Let's talk about episode 99 today. We're going to talk the action classic Die Hard here in a few minutes. But before we get into all that, let's talk a couple things. We always do news briefs at the end, but I want to talk about this certain news story at the beginning. Comic Book Men. It's canceled, man, by AMC. And we just did a Kevin Smith episode last week. We did Dogma, and we talked many times over the 99 episodes, the kind of big Kevin Smith fans we are, and I didn't realize how much I loved this show until I heard it was canceled. You know, and I'm like, man, this sucks. I really, really look forward to watching it. I didn't stay up till the 2 a.m. time slot to watch it. I would DVR it and watch it, but I realize now, like, man, I'm really going to miss this show. And Kevin he's pursuing other networks, hoping it gets picked up, and I really hope it does, man, because
Netflix should pick it up.
Netflix or who, just so, I don't care who picks it up, I'll find a way to watch it, but, like, it's a nostalgic trip, and Ming Chen, who's been on the show several times, Mike Zapsik, who's been on the show, we've talked to him before, are guys that, like, they're our peers, and they're somewhat celebrity sass, but they're also kind of one of us, because they're down to earth. You watch Comic Book Men, it feels like it's watching your friends talking about comics and pop culture.
Oh, yeah.
Just like we do in this show. And I really hope it comes back. And it's funny because listening to Kevin Smith's podcast, he said, man, I thought for sure after I had the heart attack, they would definitely renew my show. And then it's like, bam, you're canceled.
That was the one on Smogcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're a fan of the show?
Oh, yeah. I don't watch it as religiously as you did, but I remember the Stan Lee episode, and yeah, I remember them, you know, asking, you know, they asked Stan Lee some, you know, interesting questions, like, who would win, the Hulk or Thor? And he's like, you know, he's like, it's like watching your two kids fight. He's like, you know, and you hope no one wins. He's like, so I would have to say, I would hope it ended in a draw.
Right.
And that's how he left it, you know, so he wouldn't even say who would win. Because, you know, that's like his, you know, all his kids, all those characters, that's his creation, partially and mostly.
Yeah,
Spider-Man for sure. That's his.
Yeah, the Stan Lee episode was good. I enjoyed the bat where they went to flew the bat helicopter episode. That was a good one.
Yeah.
And Adam West was on the show once. And just a nostalgic trip down memory lane. Different things they brought in. People bringing comics or different things. I'm like, I remember that, or I remember someone having that. And just it was really cool to watch.
Yeah, there was an episode where someone brought in Hulk number one.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, just seeing these old comics that maybe you didn't know about or you forgot about, and seeing what they're worth. And you're like, oh, man, I used to have that one or something. Or man, I had the chance to buy it when it was $2.99. Now it's worth, you know, X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, a lot of cool episodes. Hopefully, you know, we hear news that it's picked up soon.
And then the last episode, they visited the Funko Pop a store and factory that's in Everett, Washington.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really want to go there. Now I'm super jealous because my wife and the kids are going to see her brother up near Seattle in about a month. And they might stop in Everett and go. I'm like, that's not fair. You better bring me back a Funko Pop from there.
Yeah, man. Better.
So I'm a little jealous that they go get to do that. But let's hope Comic Book Man gets picked up. There's got to be someone out there at once. I can't imagine the show costs that much.
No.
You know, and hopefully it's able to come back in some form so we can still see Ming and Mike and Brian and Kevin and Walt on TV every week, because it's definitely worth having. And as popular as comic book movies are right now, and comics in general and pop culture, we need a show like this. I mean, The Toys That Made Us is awesome on Netflix.
Yeah.
But we need something like this too, man. And
not enough of them.
No, not enough. So let's hope for the best. So that gets us into Download This. We just talked about a TV show. This is where we tell you what we're downloading, streaming, watching lately. What have you watched and downloaded this week or streamed?
This week, I watched, of course, I watched our movie. And then...
That doesn't count.
I watched Space Jam. I was the like, original? You know what? I saw, you know, all this talk, you know, NBA, all the players moving around in the NBA. And I was like, you know what? I want to watch the movie with the best NBA player who saved the Looney Tunes from going to Moron Mountain. I was like, Michael
Bill Murray? Bill Murray?
Yeah, Bill Murray. Yeah, the MVP. I like, and then, you know, Larry Bird's in there, Patrick Ewing.
Oh, Space Jam's a fun movie.
Yeah, man, it's definitely, you know, like from a critic standpoint, it's not the best movie, but it's
funny because I probably watched it about a year ago and it holds up pretty well.
Yeah,
you know, the kids wanted to watch it and it was on Netflix for a while, then it went off. I guess it's back on there now, or one of the streaming things. I think I saw it on Prime. Maybe that's where it was streaming. Did you watch it?
I rented it. I went on Vudu. I need to look more that way. I don't spend
so much.
We
have a Fire Stick, right?
I do, but I'm afraid to use it.
You just do a search, and it will tell you what it's available on.
Yeah.
It'll tell you it's available on Netflix or Hulu or whatever.
Oh, I thought you meant using my Kodi.
No.
Yeah, I was like, I'm afraid to use that thing.
Well, that's what you get. Well, I download shit illegally all the time. I'm not afraid. You have to have some balls, man.
Yes. You know. Yeah, I don't want to admit to anything like that.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You can admit to the dark side. So, Space Jam?
Space Jam.
It's funny, I should have mentioned this. We just talked about the Funko Factory. I actually watched this a couple weeks ago and forgot to mention. I watched the Funko documentary. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Making Fun. Not a bad documentary, not a great one. It's a little slow in parts. I was expecting a little more pop, pun intended, for the documentary, but not bad. I did watch the first... I finally got around to watching the first episode of Netflix's Lost in Space, and I'm not sold, man. A few people said you need to get two or three in, but man, the first episode it didn't hook me enough to maybe want to watch a second or third. Maybe I'll get back into it. And I was really hoping to like it, but maybe I'll give it more of a chance. Just right now, I just wasn't thrilled with the first episode of Lost in Space. I thought it was okay. You know, I think that's all I've watched this week that I can remember.
Well, it's been a busy week.
Yeah, you know, that's all I can remember.
Things in.
I mean, I've been playing some video games and watching. Oh, I did download on PlayStation sale. They have for $3. I couldn't beat it. They had the remastered version of the classic arcade game Strider.
Oh, okay.
So I did download that and I played that some. So I did download something on download.
There we go.
Besides watching stream. So that's about it as far as that kind of stuff this week. So yeah, that's what we've downloaded, watched, streamed, and you know, no porn because Frank's not here. You
no porn.
Frank's always the guy that downloads that stuff.
Yeah.
But no. So, all right. Well, are we ready to get into Die Hard?
I'm ready to get into Die Hard.
Are you ready to Die Hard?
Yes.
And,
but man, not with a vengeance.
This is the
first one.
It's July 4th in America tomorrow,
yes.
Which is America's birthday. And I know we've got friends like the Thorskin Podcast and Tokyo Munchies that listen overseas, and they're all like, oh, there's the Americans celebrating their holidays again. But it is our Independence Day, and they have their own version of Independence Days and things like that over there.
Yeah.
So, you know. But so... We were like, we got to do an explosive movie, and there's not much more that gets explosive than Die Hard, you know?
This is true.
I mean, it's a movie that, of course, is fixing to hit 30 years old. It came out in 1988, in July that year, and it's still a pretty go-to standard action movie. Wait, did that make sense?
It's the
go-to standard. I mean, for many years, people looked at Die Hard as the way to make an action movie. And it's funny because when it came out, it wasn't really critically received well.
Right.
They thought it was okay. But it was a huge box office hit, and it garnered a following on home video. and it went on to spawn four sequels, even if a couple of them weren't that good.
Yeah.
And this is just a massively huge movie that over the years that people just really, really love.
Yeah, no, they do, and it really redefined what we look for in, you know, our characters in action movie. You know, through the whole time, you know, Bruce Willis, there's an underlying theme of family, and, you know, a guy that, you know, is not the best guy, but he always tries to do the right thing, and here he gets to do the right thing, and he saves the day.
Yeah, and the plot needs no introduction. Everyone's seen Die Hard, and I mean, it's been a pun that's been put for years about different action movies. Die Hard in the White House, Die Hard on a boat, Die Hard on a bus.
Yeah.
You know, so everyone knows what it's about. When terrorists take over a building trying to steal money, and he's an everyman cop from New York that's visiting his wife in L.A., and he has to stop them. And the thing about Bruce Willis, you're absolutely right. He was like that everyman cop that you could somewhat relate to on a certain level of a guy just trying to do the right thing. And you made a great point. I didn't realize, and I've seen Die Hard, you know, 20, 30 times over the years.
Yeah.
But I guess I hadn't watched it probably in many years until this week. And it is a character piece as much as it's an action piece. And very much my favorite part of the film is his relationship between John McClane and what's his name?
Alan Rickman?
No.
Hans?
Family Matters.
Oh, yeah, Carl.
Carl.
Yeah,
what's his character's name?
It's
Al, right?
I think it's Al.
Holy shit, man.
It is like, I just know him as Carl.
What's he Carl in? Family Matters?
In Family Matters, I believe, because he was a cop in Family Matters.
Sergeant Al Pal.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
that's right. So I don't know why I had a brain fart. Man, my brain has not been at work today, dude. I couldn't even function, man. My brain's been like, so I'm trying to focus here to record, okay? But yeah, and that's the best part of the film is the relationship between Al and John, and that they get over this over the walkie-talkies. Yeah. I almost said cell phone, but no, it was walkie-talkie.
Yeah, walkie-talkie.
And as they get through this crisis, and it's but it's also this huge, explosive, violent action film too.
It really is,
and it does a good job of balancing that, maybe critics didn't get that in 1988. I don't know. I'd have to go back and read reviews what they said about it. And there's some dialogue in the film that's kind of cheesy and things. And there's parts of it that don't hold up as well as other parts of the film. Because,
like the cocaine?
The cocaine. It's a little slow. In the first 20 minutes are a little slow.
Yeah.
You know, and just some of the choreographing is a little not by today's standards of action films.
Yeah.
But it's still really well done in a lot of ways. So he seems like, John seems like he never runs out of bullets until the end of the film when he actually checks the bullets.
Yeah, I know,
you know,
right?
It's like he seems to have a mass amount of weapons and bullets taken off the bad guys. So there's a lot of things that are really cool about it. There's a lot of tropes that keep it in the 80s with the endless bullets, like Arnold Schwarzenegger Commando. And funny is, Schwarzenegger almost, well, they wanted Schwarzenegger for this movie.
Yeah, and Stallone, right?
I think Stallone, yeah. But he actually mentions Schwarzenegger in the film, so there's like a callback to him.
Yeah.
But as an action film, it's still really remarkably good. You know,
I would say so. I mentioned before, it really redefined what an action movie should be, and how to introduce get people more introduced and what's the word that I'm trying to invested. Get people more invested in action films rather than just roll their eyes and say, oh, this is another guy film. Hey, man, you know, it's deeper. It's deeper than just blowing stuff up and shooting everybody, you know.
And Bruce Willis had come off of he was doing Moonlighting, which is a hugely successful TV show, but he hadn't done really anything acting wise as far as movies. So studio took a risk with this guy who was a TV star.
Paid him $5 million.
Yeah, $5 million was a lot of money back then. Put him in a movie. They cast a British actor who was known for stage work that had. This was his first American film, and Alan Rickman, who is fantastic in the movie.
What didn't the director just see him at a play, and he said, "That's who's going to play Han."
It was directed by John McTiernan. It's got a great cast of character actors around Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman do a great job.
Yeah,
it's funny because a lot of the actors that played the German bad guys aren't even German. So they would have to learn. They would learn their dialogue and their words in German through a dialect coach, and basically just repeat the words because they didn't know how to say some of the stuff. I think two of the actors were actually German.
Yeah,
if I remember reading right. So it's a lot of word is that the script wasn't even complete; that they improvise a lot of stuff on set and put this movie together. But somehow it all comes together.
Yeah, it comes together full circle, and Man, are we going to talk about the elephant in the room? Or what, should we say the white elephant?
What's the white
in the room? That this is a Christmas movie?
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Because
okay.
Frank's not here. It's still not a Christmas movie. We'll talk about that.
I do want to, like, okay, it's like a Christmas, non-Christmas movie. It's like, it for me, it's in that gray area. But we'll talk about it. I will say something for the, this is a Christmas movie, believers. I will say something to their credit.
Right.
But that I will say that, hey man, this is an action film first. It is definitely an action film first. But yeah, man. So another cool thing is that Fox actually was paying on this building. And it wasn't even complete. So they really just charged themselves.
Right.
For this,
they use their own building. For and it's still, to this day, it's where 20th Century Fox has their studios until, well, I guess Disney's buying them.
Yeah, until Disney
buys them. And they may move them all to Florida, wherever Disney headquarters are.
And then all those explosions really took place in the building. And the one where McClane throws the plastique, or C4, I think it's C4, down the elevator shaft, they basically collected all the flash bulbs that they had and put them all around that floor and set them off at once. And that's how they were able to get that effect. So the way that they executed the effects, you know, I know you and me are both fans of practical effects.
Right.
You know, that's another reason why the, you know, the explosions are so visually good and believable.
Well, it's like a lot of these old action movies. That's why they work so well. Like, you know, I know the Kingsman of a couple years ago was really popular, and I've talked about this before, but like the church scene at the end of the Kingsman bugs me because it's all special effect wire work.
Yeah.
Wire work is practical, but basically it was, I can't think of the actor's name, the guy from the King's Speech, but it's basically stand here, pose, move your hand
Joffrey
this way.
Rush?
No, not Joffrey Rush. No. And then we're going to move you over here, you're going to pose again, and then it's all edited together. Everyone thinks that scene, I almost guarantee that scene is done in the editing room. It's not choreographed. For a movie like Die Hard, it's all choreographed action. They have to have Bruce or Alan Rickman or the other actors stand in a certain place at a certain time and use these weapons and their fists and things properly, or the stuntmen or whoever they use, and not hurt each other, not rely on wires. Now, I'm sure they use some wires when the stuntman jumps off the building. And you know. But it's still, like you said, a lot more practical effects, and today's films rely on more editing effects and more special effects.
Yeah, and then, you know, it was cool how they introduced Hans and John.
They didn't know Bruce and Alan Rickman hadn't met yet.
Yeah, and so they didn't even, you know, they wanted to figure out a way to make these guys meet outside of the radio and outside of course, the climax. But, you know, so turns out Alan Rickman did a really you know, funny impression of an American,
right,
how Americans talk, and I just think it's hilarious because I'm like, okay, this is how Alan Rickman thinks Americans talk, and he's just like, oh God, no, oh God, don't hurt me, and you know, of course, John is not fooled. He calls him out on it, you know, gives him an empty gun, and that's whenever all the glass falls.
Right.
And John uses the his character wore rubber feet.
Right.
That's why his feet look so jacked up. It's like it's because of rubber feet. But yeah, that was really funny whenever I found out that you know, that was not Alan Rickman's real voice. You know, growing up, I always thought that every actor was American.
Right.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that his actual voice is the voice he uses in every movie.
Right.
You know, Harry Potter, Robin Hood,
right,
you name it. And then you know,
that's right, he's in Robin Hood.
Yeah,
forget about that,
the sheriff,
that's right.
He's just over the top in that movie too.
Yeah. And a neat thing about this is something I learned when doing research for the episode. I didn't know that Die Hard was based on a novel from, like,
I didn't know either.
It's not the same name, it's a novel. I had it somewhere. It's written in like 1969, I want to say
69.
But I'm not going to be able to find it now.
No, I saw it was based on a novel.
It's based on Robert Thorpe's 1979 novel, Nothing Lasts Forever, which was actually a sequel to a movie called The Detective. And Fox, that was in a film with the same name in 1968 with Frank Sinatra.
Oh, weird.
And Fox, even 20 years later, was obligated to at least offer the role to Frank Sinatra if he wanted to do it. And of course, he turned it down. So they reworked the film into Die Hard.
Sinatra would have been.
Right, because he was still alive in 87, 88. And he obviously turned it down, and they reworked the film with a new title and made it Die Hard. And that's how I didn't know that. I thought it was interesting that this was based on a book originally.
Wow. I remember the game. Do you remember the arcade game? Die Hard, the arcade game?
Yeah.
And it's like, I felt like it didn't last long in arcades. It was really hard. I never won.
Yeah, I remember being really hard.
Yeah.
And we mentioned that it was almost Arnold Schwarzenegger in the film, but it was supposed to be a sequel to Commando. They had written Die Hard. And I can see, and I think that's why we got the term over the years, Die Hard on a Boat, Die Hard, because you take this concept, it's pretty basic. You could almost make a sequel to any movie with this concept, any action movie. And even today, we had recently had Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen, which is essentially Die Hard in the White House and Die Hard in London.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're still getting these kind of movies today. And I think there's a genre for it. People enjoy action films. They like to see everyman heroes.
Yeah, they do. And Bruce Willis, I think I sent you this, like, Honest Trailer thing. And at the beginning of the Honest Trailer, it says, in an era where every action star is roided up, Bruce Willis, it looks like your dad in Die Hard. And that's like, he does look like someone's dad.
That's true. He actually really does. And I think that's why he works, coming off of Moonlighting, which was like an everyman character. And then he's in this, and he's like, and he pulls off the New York cop accent very well. He is from New York,
yeah.
Bruce Willis. And I think you're absolutely right. He's walking around in a wife beater and pants and no shoes. So it could be your dad saving the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. And, he does such a good job in this movie. His tank top is in the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
I did not know that they put his tank top in the Smithsonian.
Your dad could be Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the bald look going.
Yeah,
he's athletic.
Black belt in Taekwondo. Yeah.
He's athletic, slight dad bod. You know, your dad could be the...
I don't know how good of a shot he is, but, you know, if it was a fist fight, I'd put money on him.
And, you know, in this movie is probably... It went on to spawn four sequels. There's been rumors of a Die Hard Year One, which I think is a terrible idea, because A Good Day to Die Hard was absolutely terrible. Is this your favorite, though, of them, the original?
Yeah, this is my favorite.
I like this one. I also like Die Hard 2 a lot. And a lot of people hate on Die Hard 2. I really like it. I don't know why. I just enjoy that
one. I see a lot of people in their list, they put A Good Day to Die Hard after, like before Die Hard 2.
No way. Good Day to Die Hard sucked so bad.
Now, I have Die Hard as a Vengeance as number 2.
But see, I could see that at least.
Yeah. And then I have Die Hard 2 as my number 3.
Right.
So it's like those
are interchangeable. Then Live Free and Die Hard, then Good Day
and
Die Hard.
Yes.
And Live Free and Die Hard isn't... You know, Live Free and Die Hard is not a bad film. It just doesn't... It's not really a Die Hard film, I think, because it takes place over the whole city, just like Die Hard with a Vengeance did.
Yeah.
But it didn't have that intensity to it. Die Hard with a Vengeance had an intensity because of the game, Simon Says, that Hans Gruber's brother plays with him.
Yeah.
So it gave it this feel of it took place in a closed area, just like Die Hard and Die Hard 2 did.
Mm-hmm.
But Live Free and Die Hard doesn't have that same feel. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
It's not a bad movie. Like, I enjoy Live Free and Die Hard, but it doesn't have that intensity to it that the first three had.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think
sense.
That's why it doesn't work on the same level. And A Good Day to Die Hard was just... That was... I'd rather wipe my ass and look at it than watch that movie. That's how bad I think that movie was.
Damn.
Like, at that point, let's be honest, Bruce Willis was doing it for the money.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do another Die Hard movie. He didn't give a shit whether it's a good script or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Just like in that Honest Trailer, back when Bruce Willis cared about making movies. And I was like, yes. I was like, this Honest Trailer is honest. I was like, it is very honest. But, he just took the money for that one. That's... I think... would you rather watch Genesis or that?
Genesis, at least it's got science fiction and it's got what's her name in it?
Yeah,
Emilia Clarke.
Oh yeah, Emilia
Clarke. I'll watch it for Emilia Clarke. Yeah.
And there's a little side butt, I think, with Emilia Clarke.
Yeah, so you know, I got to go with that one. Let's talk about the famous line of the movie: "Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker."
That's right.
You know, it's been on the top quote list of all time, and it's in all of them except, I guess, in Live Free or Die Hard. There's a PG-13 version for the uncut version.
Yes.
He says something different. And I remember watching this, like, I remember Die Hard 2 specifically, watching it on edited version of TV, and it's like, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, or something like that. It's just ridiculous. But this line has probably been quoted as much as "Life's like a box of chocolates. May the force be with you." It's
I'll be back.
Up there, top famous movie lines, right?
Oh, yeah, it has to be. I haven't looked because it's like I know. Whenever we did Terminator, we looked at the most, like, how it ranked as far as most memorable movie lines. It's definitely within the top 100, easily.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many, but yeah, this is definitely within the top 100. I would be very surprised if it was...
Premier Magazine lists as number 96 overall. Okay. That was back in 2007.
Yeah, it's got to go a little higher than that.
Yeah, I would think so,
at least in the 70s, minimum. If I'll be back is in the middle of the pack... then yeah, it's gotta be not far from that. Yeah, man. And so, what?
You had a thought.
I had a thought,
but
man.
Now you lost it.
Yeah, man.
Another interesting note, we talked about Schwarzenegger almost starting it or turning it down. You know, Clint Eastwood actually owned the rights to the novel. And he almost made the film in the early 80s.
Wow.
And, but he ended up not... I guess he went on at that point. Dirty Harry at that point? Maybe he had moved on to another cop drama of his own.
Yeah.
Can't remember what year the original Dirty Harry came out. It had to be before that.
Yeah, I thought it was 82.
I want to say 78.
Oh, yes.
Was like 78, 79. Then Magnum Force was like 82.
Yeah, maybe.
The Deadpool was late 80. So I'm thinking he probably thought at that point I already had my own cop drama. Yeah. And he chose not to do it. So that,
how cool would it have been if Clint Eastwood was in there? I mean, obviously, we would never change history, but
right.
You'd be like, maybe he would pull like a 44 Magnum out.
Possibly.
And tell Hans Gruber, it's a 44 Magnum. Blow your head clean off.
Right.
With his squinty eyes and his snake-like face.
Yes.
Yes.
So before... any other thoughts before we get into what your thoughts on people's thoughts on whether it's a Christmas movie or not?
Yeah, I mean, this is, like you said, it's, you know, if we're talking, this is the movie that makes you debate Die Hard or Terminator 2. You're like, man, these are both really good movies.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it sparks debates on, you know, which one is better. And man, 9 times out of 10, you know, if it's not Terminator 2, Die Hard comes out on right. top, man. It's just, it revolutionized what we look for in action movies.
I agree. And, you know, it, as far as holding up, I think it still holds up pretty well. There are parts on it that are a little cringy and a little slow at times compared to today's action standards. But it still holds up well. Just maybe not as well as I maybe thought it was going to hold up after 30 years. There are parts that I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it's still a solid action film. I think Terminator 2 is a better action film, personally. Do you have a favorite scene in Die Hard?
Oh, I like whenever, like, when the guy comes down the dead guy comes down the elevator and it says, now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because at that point, Hans is like, you're not going anywhere. We control this situation. You know, you're reporting to us, basically, you know, they've already killed the boss. And, you know, the hostages are like, man, you know, we're screwed. And then that happens. And then now... Hans and his men are like, oh crap, you right. know. So yeah, that's probably my favorite part.
I like where he jumps off the roof with the fire extinguisher because it's so ridiculous. It would never probably have worked right
oh,
that
heck
way.
No, man.
But it's cool and I don't know, it's just exciting seeing the roof blowing up behind him. He should have been blown to smithereens. I'm sitting there watching there at night, like there's no way he would have should have died.
Oh yeah, dude.
But you know, it's that action movie star effect. Real quick before we talk about this Christmas movie, one thing I'm glad about in the sequels is they did bring Al back. You know, he's in Die Hard 2, and then he makes an appearance in 3, right?
Yeah. He does make an appearance in 3.
And did he make it 1 in 4? I can't remember.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember if he made it before, but he was a cool character, and I'm really glad that he came back. And I think I just want to give Al a little love, because I don't think Al gets enough credit for those movies.
It's like he's picking up Twinkies for his wife, and he's going to leave, just do a little drive-by, and then all of a sudden this dead guy falls on his squad car, and he gets caught up in a big ass mess,
right.
And
he kind of becomes the conscious of the film in a way.
Yeah,
you know,
and he has some ghosts in his closet, man, some right. skeletons in his closet. He shot a 13-year-old boy who was holding a ray gun, and you know, he says, you know, he's like, they teach you everything whenever you're a cop, except how to deal with guilt and right. or how to deal with a mistake. And at the end, he's like, I haven't pulled my gun since. I haven't been able to. And then he pulls his gun at the right moment.
Saves the day.
Saves the day and clears his conscience, right. assumably.
Right. Okay, it's July. It's July 4th. You know, this is our explosive July 4th movie we chose to do.
Yes.
But is it a Christmas movie? I know you had some thoughts on it, so I'm going to say I don't think it is. I think a Christmas movie is a movie that celebrates Christmas, and it, like, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Jingle All the Way. I think Christmas movie lean more towards family dramas, family comedies, where this, to me, is an action movie that happens to take place at Christmas, just like Iron Man 3 takes place at Christmas.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of something else that takes place at Christmas that's an action film. I just can't off the top of my head.
I was trying to find, like, I wanted to see the strongest argument for this, that this is a Christmas movie. And I feel like, I'm like, okay, if I, you know, we can't say it's black or white, right? Because it's right. Like, you know, this is, it does fall into some gray area. If this is a Christmas movie, it's like 30% a Christmas movie.
Right.
And 70% an action film. That's probably the most generous I can be. There's criteria that goes with a Christmas movie. It takes place during Christmas. Yes, this takes place during Christmas.
Right.
Usually, the release date is Christmas. This did not release during Christmas. However, to its credit, there are two other films that were released in the first half of the year, A Miracle on 34th Street and It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
In fact, It's a Wonderful Life wasn't even intended to be a Christmas film.
Right. I'm aware of that. It was never intended to be. It kind of became one.
So I'm like, okay, there's that. There is Christmas music in this film, just like there's Christmas music in other films. There should be a theme of, like, family and coming together.
Right.
And he does realize that. He's like, she's the best thing that ever happened to me. I need her. And he has this deep inner realization that, you know, he just like we mentioned before, he's not the best guy, but he tries to do the best that he can. And, you know, he comes full circle with who he needs to be. And, you know, he saves his wife at the end. And so it does have that. But I feel like, you know, obviously we can't, just because it has that, I feel like it can't be a Christmas movie.
Right.
You know, the theme, the Christmas themes, the Christmas trees, the ho, 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 I have a machine gun, all that stuff is great.
They're Christmas elements because of the time it takes place.
Yeah. But yeah. This is kind of like, to me, this is kind of like a grown-up version of Home Alone. But I feel like Home Alone is even more about Christmas. It's more about Christmas spirit. Because if this had taken place with Home Alone, if this had taken place in January,
right?
You know, we wouldn't think it was a Christmas movie.
It's just like
It's
a Wonderful Life. It's basically only Christmas at the end. On Christmas Eve, he realizes his family needs him, and he's going through the town, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And you know, Jimmy Stewart's absolutely wonderful actor. Oh, yeah. And it became a Christmas movie over the years because of that scene at the end. And even it, I think, is more Christmas than this. But you could argue it's not at all. It was never intended to be a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is just an action film that takes place at Christmas. And that's just what I believe, too. I don't think it's... And if you want to sit down and watch it on Christmas, great, you know?
Yeah, I totally support you. Like, if you're like, man, I want to watch an action film, but your wife's like, oh, no, we need to watch a Christmas movie. I would say I would use Die Hard as an excuse and a heartbeat.
And just because the writer of Die Hard came out and said a Christmas movie, let's be honest, he was just entertaining the masses.
Oh, yeah. He was fueling the fire, stirring the pot.
Right.
You know, so, this is the same guy that, you know, did Predator. And it's like, you know, we know that this is a more of an action film than it is a Christmas film. But hey, you know, we'll give those guys credit. It's partially a Christmas film, but it's an action film.
Right. All right. Well, any other thoughts on Die Hard before we get into today's news and previewing episode 100?
If you haven't seen Die Hard, go out there, watch it again, man. You know, it's the anniversary, and rest in peace, Alan Rickman. This was his first film. Go out there and watch it. It's an awesome watch, even now.
It's a great, great, great action movie. Let's hit some news, and then we've got a birthday to celebrate today as we record. And So there's a bit of news that you just mentioned. Predator, the new trailer's out. Much better than the first trailer.
Yes.
Man, I want to see it now. At first, I was kind of like, I mean, like, I was going to watch it anyway. But now, like, I'm really pumped for it, man. That Super Predator looks badass.
Man, and it, just the promo posters that I've seen come out. I wonder why this didn't get put in the summer movies, but I'm kind of glad that it fell outside, because now it's not going to get lost in translation. I feel like we have enough time to view it.
September is just such a bad time for people going to the box office. So.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe they knew that this was a niche audience. I mean, let's face it, Predator wasn't going to make $300 million at the box office.
No.
You know, it's probably hoping to have a 40 to 50 opening weekend, and if it tops out at 100, 125, I'm sure the studio will be good. But definitely looks much better in the first trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm excited about that. Indiana Jones 5, delayed till 2021.
Oh, man.
Man, maybe they should just cancel this. You know, I just, what? Maybe it's Harrison Ford. I love the character of Indiana Jones. And strangely, I'm okay with them rebooting it. Especially after seeing Solo, and I realized that you can make the character Han Solo work with a different actor. And I'm at that point with Indiana Jones. Not necessarily reboot it, but just recast it. And let's have new Indiana Jones adventures, because he's such a great character.
Yeah.
On Father's Day a couple weeks ago, I always watch me a couple movies on Father's Day. It's like my Father's Day tradition. I like to sit down, just watch movies, and relax. I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark. I still love that movie so much. And one that we definitely are going to cover one day on the show, because I absolutely love Raiders. And, I love the character of Indiana Jones so much. I'm to the point, I accept that Harrison Ford's older. Let's cast a new actor to play Indy. You know? I don't know who would be. You know, there was talks at one time of like Nathan Fillion or Chris Pratt. But I don't know, man. I'm at the point maybe bringing someone younger, someone fresh, and just see what they can do with it, you know? And they don't have to look like Harrison Ford. All they have to do is be, like Solo, you wanted to have kind of a young Harrison Ford. It can be very like James Bond. As long as they have the attitude and the looks and everything, that's all you need. You don't have to be Harrison Ford and play Indy. Or just let the franchise die at this point, you know? Because, I don't know.
I would love Chris Pratt.
Crystal Skull wasn't well received, even though I don't hate the movie. But maybe it's time that we just, you know, move on from Indiana Jones. What do you think?
I don't know. I would like to see them reboot it with someone worthy. You know, I think Chris Pratt could probably get the personality down right. Maybe a little goofier than rugged.
Right.
You know, because Harrison Ford was a little both. You know, there was that situational humor that really was evident in those movies.
Right.
I could see any of these guys that played an Avengers character.
Yeah.
I would take Henry Cavill.
I mean, as much as people
Cavill looks well. Good.
He's British, though.
He is, yeah. But
let's stop casting our American icons of British actors.
Yeah.
No offense, Thorskin, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We love you guys.
No offense.
But, so we'll see where they go with it. And maybe we'll get one more from Harrison. Maybe after that they'll go a different direction if Disney continues making Indiana Jones films. A poster came out for Glass. From M. Night Shyamalan. It's like a sequel to Unbreakable, but it also ties in with Split. I still haven't watched Split. Did you ever see it?
I only saw like parts of it, but people were like, "Oh, this is when M. Night Shyamalan does best. You give him a small budget,
so
and then he does awesome."
You know, the guy's made some good movies, but you know, like the last few weren't so sure. And I need to watch Split. We just did a Bruce Willis movie, Die Hard, and Bruce hasn't had a real good track record lately with movies. Maybe this will be his comeback.
Yeah,
an Unbreakable sequel.
Maybe.
I think we'll get the trailer here at Comic-Con in a few weeks, so we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Lastly, the DC Universe Online streaming service released a trailer the other day. They announced that they're going to have Wonder Woman remastered in HD, the original Linda Carter TV show.
Oh, wow.
Batman the Animated Series remastered in HD. They're going to have access to all DC movies. Television series have been out. It's going to have original programming with the Titans television series, the Harley Quinn animated series, Swamp Thing. Are you going to subscribe to this?
This is... Hey, dude. I love their animated stuff.
It's going to have digital comics on, too, to read.
Really?
Yes.
That would be worth it.
I mean, what you think... I think $10 and under. I think if it starts jumping over $10 a month, it might be a bit much, but I really want to subscribe to it.
Yeah, if it's $10 or under, then that's a steal.
And if Netflix is 11 or 12 now, I think they have to stay competitive with that market, but... I think this will be way worth it, just for the DC animated shows that are coming on and some of the other stuff that's going to be on there.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely, I'm sure they'll have a free trial. You can go online to their website, you can sign up, and you might get picked for the beta. I did it, so maybe they'll pick me for the beta. You know, we'll see.
Especially if you can watch the animated movies that come out, you know,
right.
Buy them right away. You can watch them.
We don't necessarily need more streaming services, but this is one that, you know, and I think it's smart of DC getting the gun before Disney comes out in theirs next year. You know, getting it started, because that's going to have all the Marvel and Star Wars and other stuff.
Yep.
So that's it for news, man. But let's talk about, we have a birthday to celebrate. I'm going to put you on a spot here because, man, an actor that, you know, is much, either some people love him, some people hate him, some people think, it's, you know, His career has been highly successful. He's had some movies that are not so successful, like last year's The Mummy. It is Tom Cruise's birthday today.
Yes, man.
So let's sing happy birthday to Tom Cruise. You ready?
Ready.
One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Tom Cruise. You're a crazy fucking actor, but we love you, too. So
nice.
I was way mad to her red. He's like, damn, I can't believe Mark made me do that.
I'm like, what the
heck? But, you know, Tom, man, despite his craziness with Katie Holmes or whatever else is going over the year, the guy's made some great movies.
He really has.
Man. And he's very entertaining. We were talking about actor we've seen the most movies of, and we just talked about Harrison Ford, and I was counting movies. Harrison Ford and Tom Cruise are like the top two actors I've seen the most movies they've been in.
Mm-hmm.
So we were texting him, joking it's his birthday. What are our three favorite Tom Cruise films? You know, and at number three, and you know, it's funny, most of mine are his modern stuff. You know,
really.
At number three, I have Edge of Tomorrow. I really, really enjoyed that movie. I think
that's a good movie.
I love hardcore sci-fi like that, and I really like it. And apparently they're doing a sequel, and I hope it's good. And I really enjoyed that with the mech suits and everything else that was in it. And I liked Edge of Tomorrow a lot. Had the great Bill Paxton in it. You know, just a good movie. What do you have at number three?
I've got Risky Business. I'm the opposite.
Rebecca De Mornay.
Yes, man.
She's
so
hot in that
dude,
movie.
I remember sneaking into my parents' room. They kept the R-rated movies in their room. I would sneak in and grab it and play it in my room. I just repeat that scene where she's just naked. You know,
and I'm going to play Frank here. Like, yeah, you were doing something in the room.
I can't deny or accept.
Or confirm.
Confirm, yeah. But yeah, that's, you know, I think, and now watching it now, I think it's just a hilarious movie.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, he's like, yeah, man, you know, talking to the banter with his friends. It reminds me of, you know, guy talk, you know, now. It's like, oh, yeah, did you make a move on her? Oh, yeah, yeah, I did. He's like, no, you didn't. You got on your bike, you rode home, and then you jacked off.
All right.
And it's stuff like that. And then if you've seen Risky Business, you know, it's just
a good one.
He turns into a pimp, and then, you know, he has to save his ass at the end.
Right. What do you have at number two?
Number two, I have Jerry Maguire.
Good movie. And it's more of a chick flick, but it's a chick flick for dudes.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's definitely a movie dudes can watch, and you're cool with it. I mean, they actually, you know, they had you had the Cardinals and who was it? Was it the
I can't remember.
Cardinals and the Giants that played?
For
halftime? Because they actually brought in the actual NFL teams to play in that game where Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character gets injured. But yeah, Show Me the Money. You Had Me at Hello.
Yeah.
Very, very quotable.
At number two, I have Minority Report. Again, hardcore sci-fi that one of my favorite films. The ending, I wish was a little better instead of all the exposition at the end, but I really like that film. Got to see it at a press screening back when it came out, two or three weeks before it came out, and I really liked that a lot. It's one of my favorite Spielberg sci-fi movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just a film I really like. I guess I'll keep going. I'll do my number one. I kind of cheated with number one, and I chose the Mission Impossible franchise as a whole, just because Cruise always wanted his own franchise, and he got it with this, and every film has been enjoyable. I know people knock on 2, but I really like 2 because it's John Woo.
I would say Ghost Protocol is the best, huh?
Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation. I think the last two have been really good. I'm really looking forward to Fallout, and I just think it's a fantastically done espionage franchise.
Yeah.
And Mission Impossible is my favorite Tom Cruise series. What's your number one?
I have Top Gun as number one.
I knew it.
Yeah, man.
You and Frank would have both picked Top Gun.
Yeah, dude.
He would have gone off about surround sound and how the music and all. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Highway to the Danger Zone. I mean, you know, it's going to be re-recorded for this second coming of Maverick. And then just, you know, what happens with him and Goose and scene at the bar. It's just, it's a fun movie. It's a good action film. And, you know, it's got a little bit of everything in it.
They announced today, actually, Miles Teller is going to play Goose's son. Kid from Ready Player One.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, you know, he could be a young Anthony Edwards, you know, kind of look like he could be his son. So, hey, I'm down. So, that's our celebration of Tom Cruise. Happy birthday, Tom
Happy
Cruise.
Happy birthday, Tom.
And we're sorry The Mummy sucked, because I really wanted it to be good.
Yeah,
I really did. And we're looking forward to Mission Impossible in a couple weeks. So, before we get out of here and get ready for episode 100, we're going to talk about our next movie, and it's it's not going to come as a surprise, people. Anybody that's listened to Rebel Radio all this time, and we appreciate the support, you all know and love, or you all know that we love Star Wars.
Yes.
So we are going to go back to 1977 and do the original Star Wars A New Hope.
Somewhere in space, this may all be happening right now. 20th Century Fox and George Lucas, the man who brought you American Graffiti, now bring you an adventure unlike anything on your planet. Star Wars.
Here they come. Coming in too fast!
The story of a boy, a girl, and a universe. It's a big, sprawling space saga of rebellion and romance. It's a spectacle, light years ahead of its time.
I am C-3PO, human-cyborg relations, and this is my counterpart, R2-D2.
Hello.
It's an epic of heroes. Villains and aliens from a thousand worlds. Star Wars. A billion years in the making, and it's coming to your galaxy this summer.
So, Star Wars is obviously a huge influence on everything we do.
Absolutely.
And we talked about it a lot on the show, but we're going to talk about it one more time and break it down a little bit more and talk about behind-the-scenes stuff and things we love about it, as we always do on Rebel Radio Podcast. And it's an appropriate movie for us for our 100th episode. And wouldn't you agree? Because it's something that we love so much.
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, it's what started it all. We did, you know, it was a movie that punched above its weight for the time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And we're looking forward to talking about Star Wars. We're also going to bring back some old games that we played on the show, as we're going to really go out with a bang for our 100th episode. We've got some podcasters that send in some recordings that we can play, congratulating us, and you can still send those in. Go follow us on our Twitter and our Instagram, our Facebook. Go to therebelradiopodcast.com to look for the voicemail number there, or just if you're a podcaster, send us an email, therebelradiopodcast@yahoo.com, to help us celebrate episode 100 next week, as we're really looking forward to bringing that to you. It should be a really fun, extravagant episode.
Yes.
And we thank everyone so much for the support, and we hope you continue to support us as we get ready for 100 next week. And if you want to show some support our way, go to the website, buy a shirt, donate through PayPal. We appreciate it. It helps us out and keep the show going. And as always, you know, we can't say enough, and we're going to kiss a lot of butt next week as we give congratulations to people that have helped us reach 100.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to Raging Nerds, who's been listening religiously the past couple weeks to our episodes and giving good feedback. And you know, I want to say thank you to Erica and John over there and Dogfin Studios.
Oh, they must send you messages. They don't tell me anything. Screw them.
They like me better.
You know,
because I know Arnold. I talk.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yes. People, go to our Rebel Radio therebelradiopodcast.com. Click our YouTube so you don't miss any comics with Arnold. There will be a new one up very soon for celebrating the 4th of July.
Yes.
So, I think that's it for today.
We
get ready for 100 next week.
So, guys, you know, go there, leave us a voicemail, send us some feedback. If you have something that you would like to hear us mention, talk about on episode 100, now's the time to do it.
And we're open to movie suggestions, too.
Yeah.
You know, if there's something you want us to cover. And we do ask to try to keep it in our genre. We're not going to cover The Little Mermaid, probably.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably not.
unless we ever get around to doing Patreon special episodes. Thank you, as always, for listening. We look forward to bringing you episode 100 next week, and we hope you enjoyed episode 99.
Yes.
This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Just go there
and do it.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.